This video was brought to you by Ground News. Today, Israel's allies lose patience, Catalonia's exiled separatist leader is running to be president again, and Ireland is on course for a new prime minister. From TLDR News, this is your daily briefing for Friday the 22nd of March, 2024. Israel is facing something of a crisis in its relationship with its allies, as, among other things, the United States brings forward a draft UN Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire. In the nearly 6 months of the war in Gaza, the United States has vetoed all resolutions calling for a ceasefire. So the new draft resolution represents a change in the American position on Israel and Gaza, and follows growing frustration in Washington at Israel's military campaign, which is now thought to have killed more than 31,000 people. The draft US resolution calls for an immediate and sustained ceasefire lasting 6 weeks to protect civilians and allow for humanitarian aid deliveries. US Secretary of State Antony Blinken characterized the call for a ceasefire as being, quote, tied to the release of hostages by Hamas. But according to those who have seen the draft, it appears that the link is more ambiguous. The Guardian quotes the draft resolution as saying an immediate and sustained ceasefire is imperative, adding that towards the end, unequivocal support should be given to the hostage negotiations. Anyway, the apparent shift in the US position preceded a significant call from the European Union for an immediate humanitarian pause, leading to a sustainable ceasefire, marking the first time that all 27 EU leaders have showcased unanimity on the matter. The statement reads, "The European Council is deeply concerned about the catastrophic humanitarian situation in Gaza and its disproportionate effect on civilians, particularly children, as well as the imminent risk of famine caused by the insufficient entry of aid into Gaza. The issue of aid, or rather the lack of aid getting into Gaza, has put Israel at odds with its partners for some time now, as the UN, aid agencies, human rights groups, and other countries point to the catastrophic humanitarian situation in the Palestinian territory. The Israeli government insists that it's letting in as much aid as possible into Gaza, and blaming Hamas for being the main obstacle. But this is at odds with assessments made by Israel's own allies. For example, UK Foreign Secretary David Cameron said that the main blockers to aid entering Gaza are arbitrary denials by the government of Israel and lengthy clearance procedures. He adds that before October 7th, around 500 trucks per day would enter Gaza, whereas the average for the first part of March has been around 165 trucks a day. Nevertheless, despite facing significant international pressure, even from the US, not to continue with its ground offensive and invade Rafah in southern Gaza, now home to more than half of Gaza's population, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to press ahead, saying, "Have you so quickly forgotten October 7th? Are you so quick to deny Israel the right to defend itself against the Hamas monsters?" Now, there's more on the way, but be sure to subscribe and ring the bell to make the daily briefing part of your daily routine. Or just search for us in your podcast app of choice to listen along. Next up, the exiled Catalan separatist leader, Carles Puigdemont, has announced that he will run to be the president of Catalonia in the snap regional elections in May. Puigdemont said on Thursday that he would seek restoration to a job that he held from 2016 to 2017, before fleeing to Belgium after staging an independence referendum that the Spanish government had banned. Making his announcement from the French village of Elne, about 20 kilometres from the Catalan border, Puigdemont said, "Today the countdown for my return begins. I will leave exile permanently to attend the plenary session and ask for the confidence of the parliament in person." Puigdemont's bid comes after Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez decided to grant amnesty to Catalan separatists who face criminal charges over the referendum. It was a controversial move, though, with critics saying Sanchez threw rule of law concerns out of the window to get the votes he needed for another term in office, after last year's general election left no party with enough support to form a government. Simultaneously, Puigdemont has been criticised for his part in the amnesty law, which protects him especially over hundreds of other potential beneficiaries. Anyway, despite the fact that he's now able to run, Puigdemont will probably have to campaign from Brussels, as the amnesty law doesn't come into force until after the Catalan election on May 12th. Moreover, opinion polls suggest that he has only a low chance of winning, with his pro-independence party, Junts, currently lying in third place. In other news, Ireland is on course to get a new Taoiseach, or Prime Minister, following the surprise resignation of incumbent Leo Varadkar on Wednesday. Varadkar, who was in his second stint as Taoiseach, cited personal and political reasons for stepping down. He said, "I believe this government can be re-elected. I believe that a new Taoiseach will be better placed than me to achieve that, to renew and strengthen the top team, to refocus our message and policies, and drive implementation." And his resignation comes not long after his government lost two referendums on updating gendered language in the country's constitution. Anyway, just 2 days after his announcement, it seems that we already know who his replacement as Fine Gael party leader and Taoiseach will be, without much of a contest. 37-year-old Higher Education Minister Simon Harris has quickly scooped up endorsements by nearly half of his party's lawmakers, and potential rivals announced that they did not plan to stand. Now, Ireland is due a general election no later than March 2025, but it could be held earlier, and it is expected that the new Taoiseach will serve the remainder of the current government's term. Nevertheless, opposition parties, including current polling frontrunner Sinn Féin, are calling for a snap election following Varadkar's resignation. So we'll have to see when an election actually ends up happening. Meanwhile, the European Union has agreed to begin accession negotiations with Bosnia and Herzegovina, with European Council President Charles Michel calling the decision by EU leaders a key step on Bosnia's EU path. Bosnia and Herzegovina, like other Western Balkan countries, has been on a long path towards EU membership. After all, it was back in 2003 that the EU said that it wanted the Western Balkans to join, with Bosnia eventually applying in 2016 and finally being granted candidate status in December 2022. But in the time since the 2003 declaration, only Croatia has actually made it into the EU. The decision to open accession negotiations comes after the European Commission endorsed the move, saying that Bosnia had made significant progress on aligning with the EU's standards and values. But the road from here is still long. The chairwoman of Bosnia's Council of Ministers said, "We remain strongly determined to continue the work that will result in further progress." And finally, in some uplifting news, doctors in Massachusetts have successfully performed the first transplant of a genetically modified pig kidney into a living human, a procedure that marks a major milestone in the quest to provide more readily available organs to patients. The 62-year-old patient previously received a kidney from a human donor, which, after 5 years, began to show signs of failure. He said that he saw the option of trying a pig kidney not only as a way to help me, but as a way to provide hope for the thousands of people who need a transplant to survive. That's because transplanting animal organs into humans is seen as a potential solution to the fact that the need for organs outstrips the number available. In 2023, for example, 27,000 kidneys were transplanted, but there were nearly 89,000 people on the waiting list.
With all this news around the world, it's easy to feel overwhelmed not knowing what's coming next. But lucky for you, our sponsor, Ground News, is your ultimate tool for easily navigating news coverage. Their app and website creates really comprehensive story overviews on any topic, so you can easily compare how news is covered across the world and political spectrum. For every article reporting on a story, you'll see the source's political bias, how factual they are, and even who owns them. For example, this story about Rishi Sunak refusing to rule out a May general election. Not only can I see that there are 7 sources reporting, I can quickly identify which sources have a political bias, according to ratings from independent news monitoring organisations. What's interesting about this story is that it's mostly being covered by 4 left-leaning news outlets, and only 1 right-leaning outlet. I also especially like their blind spot feed, which shows you stories that are underreported by either side of the political spectrum. For example, if you lean right, you might have missed this story about the US House of Representatives voting on a TikTok ban. It's unlike any other news app you've come across. So go to ground.news/TLDR or click the link down in the description to get 40% off unlimited access to their Vantage plan. That's only $5 a month to help an independent news platform working to make the media landscape more transparent.